Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Call it family drama, mixed martial arts drama, or underdog drama. Whatever the label, Kingdom is winning drama. Wrapping season 2 next month and set for season 3 next year on the Audience Network. Creator executive producer Byron Velasco joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. As athletes of the world head to Rio de Janeiro next week for the Summer Olympics, BeIn Sports is growing its international sports center service in several new directions, including, and we're not kidding, mixed martial arts. The expansion details ahead from TV director of sports programming, Rafael Torres, live from Miami. More scripted television isn't a fad, it's the key to better times for everyone doing it and all of us watching. So believe our final guest this afternoon, Robert Miner, president of Miner & Company, and he's got results of a new fascinating study as backup. More from him next hour. Also ahead, Hillary Clinton's broadcast base last night, and the answer to this week's classic trivia question. Hello everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and whenever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. Happy to have you with us for the end of year number 9 on the program All About Television. It's 76 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. I know a lot of you listening out there, it's still heat wave territory in these United States. So if you're in one of those areas, please take it easy. If you have to go out, try to use public transportation. Take extra time. Drink plenty of fluid. Get your loved ones in the game. And, of course, keep it here at Blog Talk Radio. We've got lots of wonderful programming coming your way later today and throughout the weekend to keep you company. And like I said before, we will get through this. We have some wonderful people to get you through the next 90 minutes, and we invite you, as always, to be in the conversation. The show is better that way. All you have to do, raise your voice, get the fingers going, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, all around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio. And we got a chat room also for you that you can use. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can use it from our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Rick Webber, friend from Philadelphia, and guest 1042 already in the room. So either way, we will hear you. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Radio screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Byron Velasco from Kingdom will be live with us in Los Angeles after these news notes. It looks like Donald Trump could, and I repeat, could, outrage Hillary Clinton in acceptance speech convention viewing on the broadcast networks, and not by much. Clinton's acceptance of the Democratic Party candidacy for president last night was seen by 10.2 million viewers via NBC, ABC, or CBS. Now, that's according to early Nielsen results from the 10 to 11 p.m. Eastern time hour. The previous Thursday night, Trump's Republican acceptance time had 10.5 million broadcast network viewers. Trump's total audience for this time period, and that includes the cable networks, CNBC, MSNBC, CNN, etc., 32.2 million. Final Clinton viewership total, with the cable networks included, is anticipated within the next hour or so. A couple of quickies before we get to our first guest. Apple will open a new store in Brooklyn over the weekend in the Williamsburg section, and it will include an Apple TV demonstration or two. LRA Network is Verizon's Fios TV's newest channel as of today. And Bounce TV will present a special town hall on the Baton Rouge police shootings this Tuesday night. It's put together by WAFB-TV, that's Bounce's TV affiliate in that area for Raycom Media, and the program will run commercial free. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from Los Angeles in an internet radio exclusive, the creator executive producer of the acclaimed mixed martial art family drama Kingdom on the Audience Network, Byron Velasco. Byron, great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Simon.
It is a pleasure. What do you think about season 2 and the audience reaction to it so far?
It's been really exciting. You know, we put a lot into it. I think that we took the audience into some sort of uncomfortable places, but everybody's been along for the ride, and it's been a really good response. So I'm very happy about that.
What do you mean by uncomfortable places?
Well, you know, it's we've spent a couple seasons now getting to know these characters, and I think coming to care about them. So, you know, pushing them into sort of unforced errors or life putting them through these difficult situations, I think people really react to it, and it's not always easy to watch in that sense. But I think that people really care about the characters, so I think it's rewarding in that sense.
What's been especially rewarding, I'm sure, for you and the cast and everybody involved is that you have this season picking up more coverage across the United States. You've been all along on DirecTV's Audience Network, which has become more and more a force in terms of original programming. But since the DirecTV AT&T merger, you now have the Uverse cable systems from AT&T. You get another 5 million households or so picking up the series. So that must be pretty good, considering that, compared to other networks, Audience Network still has a way to go in terms of getting full national coverage.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been I can definitely feel the difference, and I think there's even still more work to do in terms of streaming. I don't know what plans I think they have some plans for that in the future, but I think the marketing has gotten a lot more has gotten a lot better. It's getting out there more, and I definitely can feel the new viewers that we've picked up. So that's been nice.
And you've got quite a following on Facebook, and they're quite fanatical. They really pick up on episode after episode. You've got like about 65,000 people on Facebook alone with likes. And they really are getting involved more than the first season. You really get a sense that they are hanging in on every character's actions.
Yeah, that's definitely something that, you feel that on Facebook and all throughout social media, but a couple of the actors and I will go to some fights, some UFC fights in Vegas or something like that, or around town locally. And, the reaction that this cast gets when people recognize them, it's like they're seeing an old friend or something like that. It's really gratifying to sort of see how hooked into these people the audience is. That's what you always hope for. You want them to care. Mm-hmm.
You're one of this new generation of series creators, Byron, who have the opportunity to not only create the show but really run it. People like Sam Esmail, Mr. Robot, and we can go on and on and on. We featured quite a few of them on our show over in recent years. What had you decide to do a drama about the mixed martial arts scene?
Well, I'd been a fan of the sport for a long time. Mainly because it was so fascinating to me about who would choose to fight for a living. It's such an extreme and sort of difficult existence to choose. You're doing something that most of us spend all of our time in life trying to avoid, which is get into a violent confrontation. And I got really interested in the sort of cross-section of people that came to this sport and this world, particularly way back in the day when it was much more of a subculture and much more underground. I always had an idea to do a show there. It's not really a show you can pitch because I think there's preconceived notions of what that show would be just based on the way the sport is marketed. And I think the sort of mainstream general idea of what that would be. So I thought that this could be a great setting for a family drama because I think it just mirrors so much of life thematically and a lot of relatable things that everybody goes through. These guys just happen to go through it on a more visceral level. So I wrote the script on spec because I really wanted to show people that would potentially be making the show that this is in fact a family drama and it's not an MMA promotional tool. It's more it's a character drama.
How long did it take, Byron, to put the pieces together, put the plot together, put the pilot together, and then ultimately to get Audience Network, initially DirecTV, to pick it up?
It took, in terms of writing the script and conceiving the idea, it was an idea that had been in my head for a long time, and then it was really just a matter of sitting down and writing it. So the actual writing of it did not take all that long, but like I said, I wrote it on spec. It took another year and a half or 2 years for it to get set up. I was working on other pilots and writing for other studios and networks when DirecTV said, hey, we'll make 10 of these straight to series. So I kind of dropped everything and did that. And then, then it was about the casting process, which is always tricky, particularly now where there's so much in production and a lot of great choices for actors, that it was a really exhaustive process. and it was difficult to cast these roles because you got to have a certain amount of physicality. But it's really, like I said, it's a character-driven show, so it requires a certain, skilled actors. They can't just be like gym guys. So, I really got lucky and found the right people who were passionate about the show.
The show is Kingdom. It's all about the world of family and mixed martial arts, Lindsay's trying to make good, and a whole lot more. And it's on Wednesday nights at 9 on the Audience Network. It's available nationally on DirecTV on satellite and in some state areas around the country on AT&T's U-verse cable systems. We've got the creative executive producer with us, Byron Velasco. He joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. They're wrapping up its 9th year on the air as the program All About Television. Simon Appleben and Moody live from New York. Delighted to have you aboard. If you have a question or comment for Brian, give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televise. Regular over Fair Pavilion, of course, the home this past week to the Democratic National Convention. And guests 104.2 are already aboard. So join them and make your voice known. Next week, we begin year 10 on the air, and we're doing it in style with 3 episodes coming your way all at the same hour, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And we'll kick it off 1st of August with people behind a brand new event coming to New York in mid-December that wants to do for television what Comic-Con did recently in San Diego for all of pop culture. The event is called Connectiva TV from a company called Crossmark Media. We'll have the head of Crossmark, Mark Dineen, and co-partner Leo Nikeski will join us. And then, back on top with a man, one of the most important variety show producers, directors in the business, Steve Binder, will be aboard. He recently co-wrote a brand new book called Fade Up, The 26 Movies and Shades of Variety Television. I got it in the mail this morning, and it's a wonderful book. And on top with a man, because we scratched the surface last Friday when we had him, we will bring him back along with the co-author of the book, Mary Beth Leedman. It's all coming up, 90 minutes for you, kicking off year 10, Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Byron, so many people have tried to put together series about boxing or about the mixed martial arts world. People like Warren Leight, the outgoing executive producer of Law & Order: Special Victims, you had Lights Out with Holt McInerney, wonderful performance in FX, couldn't make it past the season. Robert Conrad tried a show years ago called The Duke. Couldn't make it a year past NBC. Why do you think your show has hit a nerve with people?
You know, it's really hard to answer that question because it's, you know, to make a show resonate, it's such kind of a mysterious alchemy that has to come together between material, cast, landing on the right sort of visual language for the show, music, you know. It really all has to come together, and it becomes really more of a feeling and a surge than a formula that you can really put your finger on. But I think what the secret of this show is, and maybe why it works, is that we're not really trying to. We're making it a show about people. You know what I mean? And so we make the world very specific and authentic so that the audience doesn't feel like it has to know a lot about fighting as much as it feels like it's living in this world and it feels lived in. And I think when it feels lived in, it really connects with people because they start to feel like people that they, you know, it starts to feel like people that the audience knows. Maybe it's themselves or somebody else that they love. But then they really relate and dig in so that, again, it's not like, well, can a fighting show work? Why don't fighting shows work? You know, why have there been fighting shows that haven't worked? It's really just it's about the characters. So I think when you focus on that, you can sort of transcend the limitations of a premise.
Do you think it made a difference that you took on being the showrunner as well as being the series creator or the main scriptwriter? I go back to Mr. Robot as a metaphor because I've been watching that lately since their second season started. And it really seems to have made a difference that Sam Esmail writes and directs every episode this year. There's this look and feel that you have with his show, and it seems to be willing to take chances. It's a very subversive show. It's a show that makes you think, how did USA put this show on in the first place? Because there's a lot to say about the kind of world that USA exists in. And in a way, also with your show, you have a lot to say about the mixed martial arts scene, but also about, in a universal sense, you know, what families are all about.
Right. I mean, look, I think, with these shorter orders that you're able to get, and the more the fact that a lot of these upstart places aren't looking for maybe broad appeal as much as they're looking for quality. You know what I mean? So what that allows you to do is it allows me to write every episode of the show because I have the trust of that of my partners to do that. So when I'm writing every episode, I have the ability to go where the show needs to go versus stick to already agreed upon storylines or whatever. You know what I mean? So it's very doable, particularly with these shorter episode orders. And when you do that, and when you have a little bit more of a singular voice, now again, I have great collaborators, I have a great editor, a great DP, and a great writer's room. But because I get to sit down and write every episode, I think it keeps a flow, it keeps a sort of consistent tone. And if you can manage to maintain your tone, which is a really hard thing to do, it frees you up to take the story in almost any direction because the audience trusts that you're telling a story that could only happen in this world and would happen organically. And so I think that's a really big advantage of it.
There's a lot of diversity in your show. I know in front of the camera, and I believe behind the camera too. And I'm curious, did you behind the camera, because of the background of the show, the environment of the show being the mixed martial arts world, did you want to go with writers or photographers or people doing the music and everything else that either had experience in that world or people who are fascinated by the world as you are, that it would be easy for them to do their job about it?
Well, the answer is both, to be honest. I mean, we have you know, everybody on our set in terms of background in the gym and stuff like that are real fighters, people from around L.A. or people that come in. You know, we have Joe Daddy Stevenson working on the show, Greg Jackson, a guy named Juan Archuleta who's an up-and-coming fighter. So we're surrounded by real fighters and all the diversity in that world just on, you know, around our set to keep it real and make it feel authentic. You couldn't just bring in, like, extras casting and have them in the background. It would look strange. On the other hand, I also am not looking for people that have great knowledge of this world because, you know, like anything, you can learn it on a certain level. I need people that are really good at what they do, and that way you don't end up fetishizing a world to the detriment of the drama and the human stories. You know what I mean? I think if you get too obsessed with having everybody come from the same world, you're just kind of everybody shooting at the same target, and it just becomes monotonous, and you lose whatever kind of depth you could get by having people from different walks of life and different skill sets.
Was it that kind of process also with the actors? And when did you know that you had the chemistry, that everyone really gelled in not just their roles, but in the relationship of this family and the people around them and the scene that they all have to be part of?
Yeah, I mean, I started getting a good feeling because you really never know what chemistry is going to do. I mean, you can do chemistry reads with actors and – you know, you kind of see it, but really until you get deeper and deeper into the show and in the relationship, you just don't really know what you have. But I definitely started getting encouraged after the show was cast and seeing how hard the guys were all training together, how dedicated they were, how much deeper that they wanted to go. And Keely and Joanna, who plays Lisa and Christina, how far they wanted to push things and just sitting down with them and really digging in and having conversations about what we wanted to explore. You know, once I started realizing that all these people were really setting ego aside and going for it and not worried about the consequences as much as they were excited about the journey. Then I knew, okay, we got a good chance. 'Cause if everybody's bringing it, there's a good shot that something great's going to happen.
Byron Velasco is the creative executive producer of Kingdom. It's now in its second season, Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on the Audience Network, available throughout the country on DirecTV on satellite. and in cable in various cities through AT&T's U-verse cable systems. Byron joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom Applebaum from that other coast in New York, where it's 76 degrees at the top of the hour. We're getting out of the heat wave, at least temporarily. And again, wherever you are, if you're in that heat wave, please take it easy. If you have to go out, use public transportation if you can. Take extra time. Drink a lot of fluids and liquids and water and so forth. And, of course, check up on the loved ones. And if you have a question or comment for Byron, give us a call right now, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04, my name is 1088, has just joined the room. As we said, we're giving you 3 episodes to start year 10 next week on Tomorrow Be Televised. And you might still have a musical one for you on Wednesday, August 3rd. Kicking things off, Mark Cuban's network, AXX, is getting into made-for-TV movie business, and they're bringing Elvis in the building with their first made-for-TV movie, Elvis Lives. It will premiere on August 16th, the 35th anniversary of the death of Elvis Presley. We will have both the executive producer and the writer of the film, executive producer David Rowani and writer Delonda Williams, will both be with us. And on the second half of the hour, we'll speak with the host of one of the most popular long-running programs in terms of music in all of television. It's called Reno's Old Time Music. It deals with the wonderful world of bluegrass, and it's on RFD-TV. Ronnie Reno himself will be with us. The phone coming up on Wednesday, August 3rd, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. We have a call. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name and where are you calling from? Go ahead. You're on the air. All right, hold on. I think we're going to try Byron. We'll get him on in a second. I believe Rick Webber, our friend from Philadelphia, is trying to get through, so we'll try again in a moment. Byron, what's been the cooperation level from people like UFC and the other mixed martial arts combat sports leagues?
It's been unbelievable. We locally, with sort of the smaller promotions, they've been great about promoting us and us helping them out when we can. And then, we recently got hooked up with Dana White, who has become a huge fan of the show, and we did a lot of promotion. We were all over the Kingdom was all over the cage at UFC 200, which was very exciting, and myself and a lot of the cast got to go and sit cage side for 200 and 199. So UFC has been phenomenal, and all the fighters, we've gotten to know a lot of them too, and I think that they feel grateful that we're telling the stories of their lives, even when it doesn't look clean and pretty, because I think it's humanizing, and I think people need to understand the difficulties and the challenges and the sacrifice that these people make physically and personally and emotionally for this pursuit. But so we've been really embraced by the community, so that's been great. I mean, the biggest fear was to not honor them, and they've been great.
So what are some of those uncomfortable places that we can expect the rest of the season and then season 3 next year?
It's always going to be that sense of fear, again, that I think a lot of people have, which is loneliness, isolation, and trying to hold on to your place in the world. So in all kinds of different ways, we're constantly battling that, and I think that's a human experience, and I also think that's a unique experience to fighters as well. It can be an isolating sport. It's a tight community, but really it's every man for himself at the end of the day, and woman for himself. So just by virtue of that and how that plays out through various storylines is a very emotional ride.
All right, I believe we have our caller back on the line, so let's go for it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Simon, it's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
Rick, good to have you, and congratulations on your city and how it did with the Democratic convention the last 4 days and nights, and you're on the air with Brian Belasco of Kingdom.
Hey, Brian, I'm wondering about yourself as a showrunner. Like, does it ever get crazy having so much like stage fighting and so many like fake tattoos that you guys have to keep track of for like year after year after year? Like, I'm just wondering what parts of the show maybe you'd like to, regret as much as say like, oh, wow, this is my most major headache.
Yeah. I mean, it's all of that stuff is a challenge. When you're shooting fight scenes, those are always our toughest days. It's really tough on the actors. You really worry about, not only just the how much time that you have in the day to shoot it, how long that you have this location, but you're also holding your breath that the actors don't get hurt, because they do. We don't really double them. There's not really stunt doubles, because we're so, you know, we get so in there, and you know, these guys are just wearing shorts. There's really not a lot of ways to hide them. So you're really concerned about them getting hurt for their own safety, and quite frankly, because of the havoc it could wreak on production. I mean, I remember in the first season, Jonathan Tucker, who plays Jay, was in doing a fight, and he caught an elbow and gashed his head open. So, but instead of stopping production, we just rubber cemented that thing back together and kept filming. And then he went to a plastic surgeon right after we wrapped. That's the kind of dedication, you know, that these guys bring. But you always hold your breath, because there's a lot of pulled muscles and cartilage and things like that. As far as the tattoos and stuff, it's a headache. It's difficult. They come off sometimes, but you know, it's just part of the game. We have a great makeup team that deals with that. So, you know, it's always a challenge, but we get it done.
Cool. Well, definitely dig in the show, dig the fight scenes, and I really, really like the look of the show too. It's really cinematic. So continued success.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Simon.
You're welcome, Rick. Have a wonderful weekend, and all our best to everybody in Philadelphia for a good weekend and getting through the heat wave too. We're with our friend from Philadelphia joining us live here on Tomorrow We Televised. And Brian, before we wrap the conversation up, I know you have a program development deal, I believe, with NML Shine, the production company involved with Kingdom. Any possibility we may see a new show from you in the next year or so?
Yeah, quite possibly in the next year. I mean, right now I'm sitting at my desk writing the first season, the first episode for the next season of Kingdom. So, you know, I'm really focused on writing the show and getting as much of that written as possible before we start shooting in November. So that's my main focus right now, but you know, there'll definitely be more to come.
And there will be more to come, and good news is you can see it this coming Wednesday night. Kingdom, second season continues, wrapping towards its conclusion this coming Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on the Audience Network. Remember, it's on satellite on DirecTV throughout the country and in various markets through AT&T's U-verse cable systems. Check your local listings for where it's available either on cable and or satellite in your area. And for more details about the show and the Audience Network, here's where you go online, www.directtv.com/network/audience. That's www.directtv.com/network/audience. Byron Velasco, creative executive producer of Kingdom, thank you for joining us. Congratulations on the success in year two. Hopefully much, much more from you in season three and other stuff coming from you in the years ahead. It's been a pleasure to have you aboard.
Thanks a lot, Sam. I really appreciate it, man.
You're very, very welcome, Byron. All the greatest. Have a super weekend.
Okay. Take care.
You too. Byron Velasco of Kingdom joining us live from Los Angeles. We'll have more Tomorrow We Televised, but first we have some thoughts from the fun people at Audible.com. If you love intergalactic action, here's something that might perk you up. There's a new audiobook with the gang from Blake 7, the popular British series, and at one point it was even considered for an American remake a few years ago. Well, if you love that kind of action and you want to hear it sound-wise, you can. And a brand new audiobook from Audible.com called Blake 7, Ghost Ship. And it's available to you right now if you become a member of Audible.com and you use this URL, audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. The new Blake 7 adventure is one of the latest of the more than 180,000 titles that are available to you to choose from, and you can listen on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now, through Blog Talk Radio. It's 180,000 titles, all genres, all kinds of things, some with wonderful actors and wonderful talents from all over the place, fiction and nonfiction, worth your while and your listening. And remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, audible.com will get you one free audiobook and a one-month trial of service. And given Audible is an Amazon.com company, the customer service is incredible. So check it out, audibletrial.com/televised. It's audibletrial.com/televised. For the very best audio listening around, it's audible.com. When we come back, we're going to go live to Miami, and we'll hear from Rafael Torres. He's the senior director of sports programming at one of the fast-growing networks of its kind, PN Sports. We'll get his thoughts on how they will cover the Olympics, and we'll talk about some of the new initiatives of their services, both in English and in Spanish. Rafael joins us live from the Sun Fun City after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for the most progressive talk anywhere on radio, The Kyle Kulinski Show. Check Kyle and his guests out weekdays, Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, you can catch the best of BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. So do so. Welcome back to the next half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised as we wrap up year number 9 of the program All About the Tube. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York. Delighted to have you aboard. More guests coming your way in the hour ahead, and we invite you to be part of the program. Very simple. Give us a ring at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You will find it on our homepage. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. We've got guest 1042 and guest 1088, among others, in the room. It's amazing to believe that in an era where some people think we have too many networks of one kind or another, we have so many sports networks, both in English and in Spanish. Think about it. It's not just ESPN. It's NBC Sports Network, CBS Sports Network, Fox Sports 1, 2, et cetera, et cetera. There's Univision's own Deportes channel. There's One World Sports, all sorts of networks. And in that group, one is really on the move. And considering the fact it's one of the newcomers, relatively speaking, in the business, it's BN Sports and BN Sports in Espanol. And they're about to launch some brand new directions in their coverage of the global sports scene. And that coverage includes everything from the North American Soccer League to, believe it or not, as we just discussed in our last half hour, mixed martial arts, women's tennis, and even college football, NCAA style. Joining us live from Miami in an internet radio exclusive, the Senior Director of Sports Forming at BN, Rafael Torres. Hi, Rafael.
Hi, Simon. How are you?
Very, very fine, thank you. So how is your network doing going into probably the biggest event of the year, the Summer Olympics, coming up a week from today in Rio?
Well, excited. We're very busy. We're, you know, launching different stuff. And actually was listening to Byron and Kingdom, and that's actually one of the new things that we're introducing in the network. We're doing MMA. We just launched a series called Hard Knocks, which is kind of the up-and-coming. That's where Ronda Rousey started, and we're doing that every Friday on the English channel. And we're also launching a series in Spanish called Combate. So, you know, we're getting into the MMA. You know, we're just barely becoming 4 years old in a couple of weeks, and we're moving from or growing our offering from soccer, which is still our main thing, our bread and butter, but we're doing now other things in getting into domestic sports, motor sports, Olympic sports. We actually are kind of the place where you can find all the Olympians that you're going to see now in the Olympics. The rest of the year, they are competing in events like the Diamond League, where Usain Bolt and some of the big track and field athletes compete, and they're here at BN Sports during the year. We have diving, we have swimming, we have track and field, we have gymnastics, all the best gymnastics, all the U.S. divers and swimmers and all that compete, and those are some of the things that you can find at BN Sports.
With all the competition in terms of sports networks out there, whether it's all sports, whether it is single sports networks, the Golf Channel, the NHL Network, the MLB Network, and so on, how has BN Sports evolved over these first 4 years of existence? What are you learning about the appetite here in the United States for programming of a global nature?
You know, we again, our key properties, you know, we started with some of the best football leagues or soccer leagues, as we call them here in the world. And that's kind of our niche. Is one of the, has always, for the last 20 years, has been the fastest growing sport in the U.S., the sport where most kids are involved, including boys and girls. And so that's our key. That's our, where we grew. We have La Liga from Spain, Serie A from Italy, the France, and that's our bread and butter. We're now trying to expand that. I think, like you mentioned before, we have two networks. We have the Spanish one, the English one, and we also have Connect, which is our streaming service, which has offers another additional 9 other channels of events. So we have the place to put all that. We kind of are able to offer all this thing because we have a large library of rights that we have. We try to emphasize the live. I mean, our main offerings are done live. Soccer is king, but you know, we're trying to get to the motorsports. We're now the home of motorcycle road racing, so we have the whole vertical, which is MotoGP, the number one motorcycle racing competition in the world. Then we have World Superbikes, and this year we did Moto America, which is actually the last race is going to be in New Jersey in September, which is now where we are taking the next step. It's to do domestic events, domestic sports that happen here in the U.S. So, you know, from the international sports that we offer when we launch, now we're stepping and trying to get still to some of the niche sports, but get that connection to the U.S. market.
Are you finding that there are pockets of sports leagues or sports events like Moto America, like the North American Soccer League, which is the other major outdoor soccer league, and people know MLS, Major League Soccer, or Major League Lacrosse, which has some syndicated programming, but they do not have, they have a lacrosse network now, but they don't have a lot of widespread coverage of their sport, as well as indoor lacrosse. Are you finding there's a lot of places where you can jump in and get the rights?
Yeah, but I want to say a lot of places, but there is that niche and those sports that, you know, the big and established networks, you know, just don't have the place because they have, you know, their deals with the NFLs and the NBAs and things like that. So they're looking for somebody that gives them the attention. We are here. We're flexible. We want to give them the attention. We're giving them the window and the exposure. And, you know, like you said, Moto America, for example, I mean, that to me, when you see, if you have never seen a motorcycle road racing, you know, event, it's, I invite everybody to try it. I mean, it's the moment you see it, the moment you, and if you can go to one event, even better, since you're in New York, maybe you should go to the one in New Jersey in September, be our guest. And it just catches your attention. It's incredible adrenaline. See these athletes that, for 45 minutes are taking these bikes into amazing turns and the angles are, I mean, and these are the kind of things that up to right now have been niche that they wouldn't have been getting the exposure anywhere else. And we're giving them the exposure on a national level. So, you know, I think, yes, there's definitely, to answer your question directly, there's definitely room for that. The NASL, the same thing. I mean, we're giving them with the match of the week, you know, a window for that. It's a league that is growing, and then it's trying to put their footing, and we're there to help them do that.
Mm-hmm. There still is, it seems, a deficit of women's sports program, especially women's leagues program. Of course, you have the WNBA. You, of course, have Women's World Cup Soccer. But it seems that if there are professional women's leagues, you don't see a lot of it. Is that an area that for both networks, English and Spanish, you're looking at as well to try to beef up women's sports coverage?
Yeah, I mean, and if you look at our schedule, especially, you know, in the last few months where all these international competitions have been happening in preparation for the Olympics, I mean, there's a lot of women's sports there. I mean, we have the women's gymnastics, all the different types of women's gymnastics. We have the WTA women's tennis. We track and field the same thing that with our coverage of the Diamond Leagues, which is the top track and field competition around the world. The top female athletes in the world compete there. So if you look at a typical week, you'll see a lot of events where women are involved.
We've got Rafael Torres. He's the Senior Director of Sports Programming at BN Sports. It's BN Sports, and there's also BN Sports and Espanol. And he joins us live from Miami this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. BN Sports, of course, available on millions of cable and satellite households around the country, and of course overseas too. And if you have a question or comment for Raphael, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Again, we start our 10th year on the air as a promo about television next week, episodes Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And next Friday, we'll introduce you to an interesting service that's now available on smart TV devices like Roku, Google Chromecast, and Apple TV. It's called Stream Now Television, and they're taking on a possibility that you might be able, through their service, to order merchandise. The possibility is called TV Runway, and we will have both the head of Stream Now, Ron Valderrama, and one of the co-founders of TV Runway, who I personally met last year at Tech Week here in New York. Her name is Tarina Bell, and she's got a very interesting process that's now available on smartphones and tablets, but may very well soon be part of Stream Now through a smart TV set or a smart TV device like Roku. And they will join us on next Friday's program. And 2 weeks from Friday, among our guests, were the top TV critics in the country from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Rob Owen, who is currently, along with many of his colleagues, in Los Angeles for the TCA Summer Tour, PBS Day Number 2, holding court down there. That's all coming up next Friday and the Friday after, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. Year 10 of Tomorrow Televised, starting next week right here on Blog Talk Radio. What kind of Olympic coverage, given everything that NBC and its family networks is going to do, Raphael? How are you going to focus on the Olympics?
Well, we have a nightly show called The Extra, which is kind of our news magazine show. And, you know, we'll give a little bit of the news. The Olympics are usually very controlled by NBC. I mean, it's hard to get much of live anything access to it just because, you know, the rights issue. But we will have, you know, people in Brazil trying to bring some of the color and some of the stories around the games. And, you know, again, like I told you, we have all the events and all these athletes before they get to the Olympics and after they get to the Olympics. So the rest of the year. So we'll try to see that and we'll try to focus on that. I mean, the guys that the people have seen in our gymnastics and diving and swimming and track and field events, the way they did, and we have been covering them all year long. So we'll try to, you know, kind of follow up and see how they did on the Olympics, and we'll have that on our nightly extra.
Mm-hmm. I've got to ask a specific question, Raphael. From what you and your people are hearing from Rio, is this city and are these organizers ready to deliver the games, given what we're hearing about with the Zika virus, with changes in political government, all sorts of stuff, the possible banning of Russian athletes, if not in toto, at least in some specific sports like track and field? What's the sense for you down there in terms of the ability of the people in Rio to pull the games off?
There's usually big challenges every time an event like this happens, you know, and it happens every 4 years, and it pretty much happens everywhere. There's always challenges from facilities to security to so on and so forth, and thank God they always find a way to make it happen and pull it through. So I hope and I wish the best to the people in Rio that they are able to bring it along. You know, they still have a week until it starts, and you know, I'm sure they're still painting and putting the last finishing touches. But you know, we all as sports fans all over the world, we hope that everything goes right and there are no major issues, which is the main thing that you want from an Olympic or World Cup or any event like of that nature.
One of the things, Raphael, that separates ESPN and to some degree Fox Sports Net, Fox Sports 1 from everybody else, is the fact that they have daily coverage of sports. They have Sports Center, or they have Fox Sports Live in Fox Sports' case. And you also, in the case of ESPN, have a wide variety of magazine shows that are on every day or every week, whether it is First Take, whether it is Sports Nation, shows like Pardon the Interruption, Around the Horn. You might say it's sort of like the backbone of the glue that holds an ESPN or a Fox Sports 1 together. You don't see a lot on NBC Sports Network, NBCSN. You don't see a lot on CBS Sports Network, despite the fact they've been around now for some time. Is that an ultimate game plan, is to take, for example, the White Magazine show you talked about earlier and make it a nightly Sports Center so that you get more of a night-by-night, day-by-day unfolding of the global sports world?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's where we're at right now. I mean, it's, again, you need to remember we're still a startup. We've been this, you know, for 4 years. But, you know, we our plan is to keep expanding our regional shows. We have information and opinion shows right now at 7 o'clock in the Eastern time. 4 o'clock Pacific, we have The Extra, which, again, is a magazine with the news of the day, especially concentrating on the international sports and the kind of things. But, you know, we'll also cover everything else. And then it's followed by The Locker Room, which is kind of the roundtable discussions where opinion comes into play. And, you know, the plan for the network is to continue expanding in original programming and taking our steps in that and grow that and give more of that kind of feel for the network and those offerings to the audience. But, I mean, our main thing is live events. I mean, that's still there. You know, soccer, it's always will be that. I mean, that starts next week with the league from the UK, and then, you know, so on and so forth with Spain, France, Italy, and they all start in August next week.
Yeah, with your Spanish language network, it seems that the Spanish you're in an environment where, when it comes to Spanish language sports channels, it's basically soccer dominant. That's the thing that sort of drives, and maybe with a little bit of boxing. And in the case of ESPN Deportes, because they have the tie-in with all the ESPN events, they can do football, they can do basketball, they can do tennis, and so on and so forth. Is there an opening in terms of your Spanish language channel to try to broaden the base beyond the soccer fan and try to do other sports, especially some sports, including pro sports, that don't get a lot of Spanish language play on other networks?
Yeah, we already offer that on the Spanish channel. Again, the Spanish, because of the nature of the audience, I mean, it's soccer is number one among Hispanics, so it makes sense that they come here to watch some of the best leagues that we already have. But we're already expanding, and we do offer boxing. We offer some of these all these Olympic type of sports also air on the Spanish channel. We're doing MMA. We do tennis, we do the motorcycle racing. So the Spanish audience or the Hispanic audience in the U.S. is also getting offered to they have the opportunity to see all these other international sports or expanding sports like the motorcycles and all the other properties that we have.
With MMA, what leagues do you cover, and do you try to do something a little different that other people who cover UFC and Bellator and so forth don't do?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Yeah, how do you cover the mixed martial arts world? Are there certain leagues you cover that others don't? And also, when it comes to giving us more about the leagues, more about the athletes themselves, are there certain things you go for with BN that other networks don't do?
Well, what we're doing right now is we launch a deal with Hard Knocks, which is an MMA series out of Canada that feature a lot of Canadians and American fighters. And, you know, we're running them every Friday around 9 p.m. We'll have the events, but also in between the events, between an event and event, we'll be running profiles, you know, up close and personal, a day in the life of, and so people can start getting to know the athletes in that series. We're also doing Combate America, which is a series that's going to start on the Spanish channel. And, you know, the first live event is going to be August 11th from L.A. and then September 22nd from Las Vegas. You know, and again, those are Hispanic fighters in the U.S., for the Hispanic audience.
Rafael Suarez is the Senior Director of Sports Programming at BN Sports, and BN Sports Espanol, two of the fastest-growing global sports networks around. He joins us live from Miami, a place that Jackie Gleason once said was the Southern Fun capital of the world, and it certainly is. And he joins us live this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. You have a question or comment for Rafael, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04, my name. Again, coming up on Monday, we kick off the 10th year of the Pro Bowl about television. First of three episodes next week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, all 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific. And again, we'll be focusing off the bat on a brand new event coming to New York this December. It's called Connectiva TV. It's out to be the Comic-Con of television. We will have the organizers of this event from Crossmark Media, Mark Dineen, and Leon Dusky. Also on the program, the co-author of the brand new book about the history and future of variety shows on television, Paid Off. The award-winning producer-director Steve Binder and Mary Beth Edelman, the college professor who joined in making the book. I got the book earlier today. It is wonderful. If you can get it through Amazon or some other place, it's run by Kendall Hunt, by the way. That's the publisher. It is really dynamite. And we had Steve on the show a week or so ago. He was marvelous. We barely scratched the surface of his career, and we'll have him on to talk about not only the book, but his wonderful work in the area of directing variety shows from Hullabaloo in the 60s, the Elvis 68 comeback special, the incredible Diana Ross Central Park concert in pouring rain, one of the most amazing events you'll ever see on television, the last couple of seasons of Pee Wee's Playhouse, and a whole lot more. Steve Binder and Mary Beth Siegman from the new book, Fade Up, by Kendall Hunt. That's coming up Monday as we kick off an edition starting our 10th year of Tomorrow We Televise. 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, on Blog Talk Radio. So this fall, BN is getting into the college football game. With what leagues and how is it going putting that together?
We're starting September 3rd with Conference USA. And, you know, we're excited because now we're another property of you know, domestic sports, college sports. You know how it is, you know, how passionate the fans are. And we're super excited to bring that the next step in reaching the American audience and trying to bring them something that it's near and dear to their hearts. So we start on September 3rd, New Mexico State versus UTEP, University of Texas El Paso, and it's, you know, it's a big rivalry there. And so we're launching that. After that, we'll have American football the season all the way through November 26th. Then we have basketball. We'll also be showing baseball, soccer, women's and men's soccer. We'll do women's volleyball, to your point about women's sports, and volleyball and softball. So there will be a lot of women's sports in this package that we now have with Conference USA.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other college conferences that you're talking to about adding on to your college football work?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is our first step, and again, we want to take it a step at a time, and you know, we're concentrating on this one, but you know, this is just the first step. And actually, congratulations on you starting your 10th year. Every time I hear you say, you know, you're starting your 10th year, it's like, we're looking forward to that. I mean, we're just going to be 4 years old in a couple of weeks. So when I hear you say you start your 10th, it's like, wow, congratulations. That's good.
Well, thank you very, very much, Raphael. It's been an amazing 9 years. A lot of when we started, there was no clue we were going to have, for example, a huge scripted TV movement, which we're going to cover in our next half hour. The emergence of smart TV sets, devices like Roku, Chromecast, Apple TV, doing what it's doing with 6,000 apps now, virtual reality, possibly in the TV set, interactive television, that all was not in the cards when we started 9 years ago. And we're looking forward to a 10th year that really is going to be incredible. One of the last frontiers with Spanish language television is ongoing coverage of the National Football League. We now have the Super Bowl that's now covered in Spanish. Telemundo has some of the Sunday night football games. ESPN has the Monday night football game. ESPN, of course, the Monday night football game. But yet we still don't have a Sunday afternoon package. We've got the Thursday night football situation that's up in the air. Is there a possibility that at some point BN Sports, in terms of the Spanish language network, could get involved in trying to get the NFL rights that currently are not in Spanish?
Well, I mean, that's a good goal to have. Actually, since we're a global network, we are probably the biggest partner that the NBA and the NFL has outside the U.S. So will that be a future possibility? You know, we hope, but it's, you know, that's a long time away from now with all the long contracts that are there in place. And we just want to make, you know, take a step at a time and make sure that our are offering a college football and start there and keep growing. But, you know, yeah, I mean, our goals and our wish is to keep growing and get into that. Hopefully we'll be there in the future.
Back in May, when you announced some of the new U.S. initiatives like Moto America, Women's Tennis Association coverage, mixed martial arts, you also noted that you were going to launch this fall a series that was going to showcase the social nature of sports and possibly include input from social media like Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, et cetera. What's the status of that project?
Well, like you mentioned, you know, the 9 years ago, none of these things kind of were part of of what you had to talk about. You know, we all know how the consumption of media has changed. So for us, all that is very important. And we, you know, we're taking it one step at a time. We're trying to make our shows, our original shows, to be very social media involved, to have a lot of that. We have a couple of original shows on the works. We're still not on the face to be able to talk about it too much yet, but you know we're taking it. We're increasing the social media aspect of our shows, of our original shows, the extra, the locker room, the express during the weekends and the thing. So you'll see a lot of increasing that. Our digital media team it's growing, and you know our website, the Bein Sports Connect, which is our streaming channel. So all that is going to continue growing because you know like we all know that's the way that the audience is consuming media, including all of us. So we're definitely focusing on growing that and strengthening that.
Bein Sports. Español, now in its fourth year of existence. You can find them in many areas around the country on cable and or satellite. So check your local listings for whether one or both channels are available in your area, either via cable or satellite, or in some cases it's also streamed as well on the Connect channel, which could be available perhaps on some smart TV sets and smart TV devices. If you want more details about all the networks in the BN family, here's where you go online, www.bnsports.com. That's www.bnsports.com. And again, starting September, first time coverage of college football on the network with the games of Conference USA. One of my favorite teams, by the way, around the country, Central Florida, is in that conference. They have a very underrated football team, and they may be back to trying to get on top this fall. Rafael Torres, the Senior Director of Sports Programming at BN, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on 4 years of your organization's existence, and hopefully starting this fall, much more to come. And good luck, by the way, to your crew covering the games in Rio.
Thank you, Simon. It was a pleasure, and congratulations on starting your 10th year.
Thank you very, very much, Rafael. Much appreciated, and let's have you back on the show soon. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
You're welcome. Take care. Have a great weekend. Rafael Torres joining us live from BN Sports in Miami. And now it's time for the answer to this week's classic trivia question. Sorry to say we did not get a winner this week, last week of our ninth year on the air. So nobody gets the Twin Peaks FAQ book of applause. The question we had was, name George Clooney's ER role. Name George Clooney's role, the role of the man, the star on television and later in the movies on ER. The answer, Dr. Doug Ross. Yes, Dr. Doug Ross. What's the answer to this week's classic trivia question? We will try again on Monday. We kick off year 10 on the air here on Blog Talk Radio. And if you are first with the correct answer, you can win Twin Peaks FAQ. It's the new book about the classic ABC mystery series from David Lynch and Mark Frost, which will be revived on Showtime next year. Frost and Lynch will write all the episodes. Lynch will direct all the episodes. And the book, again, is published by Applause. It's a terrific book, part of the FAQ series covering movies, television shows, and a whole lot more. So we'll bring you the question on Monday afternoon, another 90-minute edition coming your way during the program. And if you're first with the correct answer, you win. Remember, the way you get involved is you email me. If you want to get the answer in, it's simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and your full mailing address. If you win, we get that prize right to you. You can also use Twitter to get the answer in, #TWBT. That's Twitter, #TWBT. The Twitter options are made available by the wonderful people at Hopscotch. The folks inviting you to create your own social soundtrack, and you can learn how by going to their website, www.hopscotch.com, www.hopscotch.com. A very big thank you to Marty Monaco for his wonderful support of our feature throughout the last year and change, and we look forward to more from him in the year ahead. So once again, If you have the question, the answer, I should say, to our Classic Trivia Question of the Week, use the email, signapple04@yahoo.com. Use Twitter, #TWET. Sooner you do, sooner you get the chance to win. And if you missed the question on Monday, don't worry. We'll post it on Tuesday morning on my Facebook page and on my own Twitter, #UBCSimonTWET. And we also will feature it again on our show next Wednesday. So remember, be in and win, and all the very best. This is Tomorrow Televised, wrapping up our ninth year as the program All About the Tube. We're with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio. And we will be joining you on Monday, the start of a very big week of Year 10 programming. And next week, we're on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio. Coming up on a special Wednesday edition, David Irwani and Delonda Williams, the executive producers and writers, respectively, of AFX TV's first ever made-for-TV movie, Elvis Lives, premiered on August 16th, the 39th anniversary of the death of the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley. And then we will have the host of the long-running series on IFD TV, Reno's Old Time Music, the only show of its kind devoted to the wonderful sound of bluegrass, Ronnie Reno. A very musical edition coming your way on a special time, Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio. When we come back, we're going to stay in New York, and we'll talk to a president of a company that's just done a fascinating study about how scripted TV is impacting our summer. And he has some very fun things to say about where the scripted TV movement is going and how long this era will last. Meyer & Company President Robert Meyer joins me after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, the best internet radio on the planet, with more than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for Empowered Love Radio with Melanie Evans. Catch Melanie and her music and her crew every week, various times, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best of BTR available to you 24/7 at YouTube.com. And also, you can check out our program on podcast at iTunes and other Blog Talk Radio shows as well on the iTunes podcast app on Apple TV. Welcome back to Tomorrow We Televised, where we wrap up our ninth year on the air of the show about television. And welcome to you just joining us at the top of the hour. It is now 77 degrees at the top of the hour. We are out of the heat wave, at least temporarily here in New York, but a lot of places still have it. And if you're in one of those places, please, if you have to go out today or tonight, take it easy. Take extra time. If you can, use mass transit, which is very air-conditioned for the most part, and check on your loved ones, drink fluids, water included, and, of course, stay in touch with us here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll keep you company and get through the rest of the day and the night and the weekend to come as well. Another great guest coming your way in this half hour ahead, so give us a ring. Be part of the program, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The numbers good anyway, or catch us across the country, all around the world right here on Blog Talk Radio. We have a chat room as well. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's Simon Apple 04 by name. You can get your thoughts right in that room, and we will hear them. We've got Guest 1042, Guest 1088, River Rock from Philadelphia, where they've had the Democratic National Convention in the last 4 days in that city of brotherly love. He's also on the room with us. And don't forget, you can get others involved in the show through Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. It's very apropos that we wrap up our ninth year on the air with one of the topics that really maybe has become one of the key stories throughout these 9 years, the abundant boom of scripted television. Think about this. When we started, maybe there were about, 50 to 100 new scripted series that would be on the air. And that was back in 2007, first week in August when we started. This year, before all is said and done, 2016, we may have as many as 500 original scripted series on broadcast television, on cable networks, on multicast networks, and on the likes of Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Crackle, Fullscreen, CISO, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And that may not be the peak of this boom, which some are calling the second golden age of television, others are calling the limited age of television, some are calling it peak TV, which is going to run out pretty quickly. Whatever the name, it is happening. My next guest has just come out with a fascinating survey of how peak TV is impacting our summer in a number of different ways. And our guest also has this fascinating comment, and I quote, "Investment in quality scripted content has, at least for now, captured viewers' attention across all options, broadcast, cable, and streaming. The choice, convenience, and control streaming offers will continue to have very high appeal, but content is key, essentially in attracting and retaining viewers. So PTV isn't just the benefit for the TV audience. The greater investment in quality scripted shows is the key to survival for broadcast, cable, and streaming content providers. Joining me now here in New York, the president of Minor & Company, Robert Minor. Robert, thanks for making the time.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for the invitation. Great to join you. And let me wish you an early happy 10th birthday for your show. You've certainly had a catbird seat watching some of the greatest changes in this industry in our lifetime.
Well, thank you very much for the thoughts. And yes, it has been an amazing catbird seat to follow as a journalist covering this industry for so long, all the things that have happened. And from what you say, based on the quote I just said, you think this era is just going to go from here.
Well, you know, it looks to me like Amazon just doubled down on their TV investment, so they don't feel that peak TV is abating. And certainly, you know, we're seeing that it's paying off in terms of the positive sentiment across category, across broadcast, cable, and streaming. I mean, only a year ago when we were speaking to consumers, but the fascination with streaming and, you know, talking about that abandonment of broadcast and cable was sort of the cultural conversation, you know, that was paramount. And this summer when we went out with the same questions into the field, we were surprised and pleasantly surprised to see, especially for our cable and broadcast clients as well, that they were back in the conversation and back in play.
Why do you think, though, that having more scripted shows is, as you put it, a key to survival, whether the network is USA or CBS or Sci-Fi or INFP?
Well, I think the proof is in the performance that they're seeing now, and also as we see that migration away. I mean, as you said, you've been watching industry for 9 years now, and there was a period of time when all that anybody was talking about was how scripted was dead and how reality, unscripted TV, was going to take the lead. Well, that was the case for quite a while, but the return on investment there certainly seemed to dwindle. And once streaming took off and people had the option of Netflix, you know, Amazon Prime and Hulu, and they were able to have self-directed viewing and view what they wanted to watch when they wanted to watch it, everybody noticed that what they were migrating towards was scripted TV. Additionally, you know, and whether we look, you know, at the early bellwethers of HBO or at FX, and the differences that they made in the novelization of TV, and the change in the story formats, and the way that it became paramount in the cultural conversation about what people were watching, my sense is that all the smartest people in the industry turned around and took note and started to put their dollars there.
Robert, when we started first Monday of August 2007, there was no such thing as a smart TV set. There was no such thing as Roku or Apple TV or Amazon Fire or NVIDIA. And now here we are about to turn the corner on our 10th year, and at least half the American public, maybe as much as 75%, have these sets, have these devices. They seem to have more capacity and more capabilities than ever, and there seems to be no limit on that. But the big thing is, it seems that's the way they're watching Netflix. That's the way they're watching Hulu. That's the way they're watching websites. That's the way they're watching YouTube or Vevo or Fullscreen or BitTorrent, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If we didn't have smart TVs and smart TV devices, do you think we would have this scripted era, or do you think at the very least Netflix would have the power it has now?
Well, I mean, my sense, and it's part of the migration you've seen that I've seen as well, we went from a period of media monogamy to platform polygamy. And with platform polygamy, we also stretched beyond the immediacy of water cooler TV, where you watched what everybody else watched that day, you know, and then that evening and the next day you talked about it with everybody at work. We've moved to now what's more of a watering hole media culture, where you have vast resources of media, but people still talk about what they're watching. It just isn't with that immediate impact unless, of course, they're watching Walking Dead or Game of Thrones. So in effect, you know, in watching that migration, it's not an overnight change. You and I both know that. I was working on testing streaming of video content and TV content back in the days of a dial-up environment, 14.4 and 28.8, when you still had that modem sound that we all associate now with AOL and our parents. But taking a look at that migration, a lot of people had faith and kept going. when we were working with the teams at HBO Go developing the very earliest versions of that streaming platform, most consumers were still saying they would never watch long-form content, you know, over the internet or streamed. When Reed Hastings announced that Netflix was going to start streaming, his stock dropped 35% and precipitously dropped from there because he was ahead of the marketplace. But the smart players in the industry, and a lot of us have been working at this for a long time, noted the potential that was there, you know, and kept going. Now, once the platforms were there, something had to fill that platform. We fill that vessel. And what do we fill that vessel with? We fill it with content, because we're content-craving creatures. So once we see where people are steering and where their content preferences are, you know, the players in the industries, you know, start to they break away from the campfire of what everybody had believed last week was the best practices for TV, and they start to see where the audiences are going and what they're talking about. You know, part of this as well is not just that viewing platforms had changed, but the social platforms would let us know what people were talking about, even if it wasn't trackable. You know, because as we know, Netflix doesn't release their viewing numbers. Amazon Prime doesn't release their viewing numbers. Hulu doesn't release. The networks were sort of caught in that lockstep of Nielsen for measurement, but then we were able to suddenly see what shows people were talking about, which was a game changer as well.
And yet, Robert, here's Netflix, who was at the TCA Critics Tour 48 hours ago, Ted Sarandos, the head of programming, saying, A, we believe now that we are the global programming powerhouse. We're spending $6 billion a year on content, a lot of original. Oh, yeah, by the way, that number is going to go up. And by the way, that's also on top of winning 50-plus Emmy nominations. And if they had put other shows in the running like Beast of No Nations, they might have been second in the Emmy nominee this year.
Yeah, I mean that's and from the audience's standpoint, you know, if you and I had turned around to your average viewer a few years ago and talked about a showrunner, they would have looked at us blankly and said, "Are you talking about the Olympics? Are you talking about racing?" But now showrunners are the new celebrities. Showrunners are definitely the talent and creative du jour, not just, you know, from those who are trying to secure their services on the network side, but from audiences who actually track them and know them and care about the provenance of the creatives of the shows that they're watching.
We're speaking with Robert Miner. He runs his own company, Miner & Company, and he's just come out with a fascinating survey about where scripted TV is at, where it's going this summer. We're going to get to some of the results. Wait till you hear what they turned up in this interesting survey that was done online over the last couple of weeks. Robert joins me here in New York on Smarty Televised as we wrap up our ninth year on the air of the program All About Television. If you have a question or comment for Robert, don't be shy. Raise the voice. Use this number, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Remember, next week we kick off year number 10, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio. And coming up on our first show on the 1st of August, we'll introduce you to a brand new event coming to New York, which wants to be the Chronicon of television. It's called Connectivity TV. It will take place mid-December. It's from a company called Crossmark Media. We've got the founders of the company, Mark Dineen and Leah Nadeski, will join us. And then, from the brand new book, Theta, about the world of variety show television, we have the award-winning producer-director Steve Binder and the co-author of the book, Larry Beth Liebman. The book is published by Kendall Hunt. Got it earlier today. It's a wonderful book. Binder was on our show a week ago Friday. He was marvelous. We scratched the surface. And we're going to have him on along with Mary Beth for a full hour. That's all coming up. 90-minute startup of year 10 right here next Monday on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Why do you think the time was right, Robert, to do this study about Script TV's impact, especially on what's going on with us this summer?
Well, I think part of it is from tracking the pundits and their conversations around peak TV and attending. I'm on the board of a number of conferences in the industry and attend, you know, other conferences as well. And I was at the Drama Summit, the showrunners conference in LA, and there was so much conversation around audiences aren't going to be able to handle this abundance of content. It's going to create anxiety for the audience. They're not going to know what to watch or how to find what they're going to watch. And a lot of pundits, even in the press, were saying there's going to be TV fatigue. Well, you know, the concerns and the fatigue from peak TV, I think, comes more from the industry side, where they're having trouble. I mean, if you listen to, you know, TV execs, you know, presidents of networks saying, you know, I can't get the content providers that I wanted. I can't get the creatives that I was looking for. I can't get these directors because they're getting sucked up, you know, by the Netflixes, by the Amazon Primes, or by the networks who are willing to pay top dollar. So I said, well, we should go and find out. You know, the industry industry's perception that peak TV is actually a negative may not be matched when we go out and actually speak to our audiences, to our viewers, and see what they think. So, you know, we put our survey out into the field, giving them the option to say, yeah, I can't handle it. There's just too much TV. It's wearing me out. I can't find anything that I want to watch because there are too many options. I'm having trouble discovering shows. Well, quite the opposite, you know, from the viewers. And also what was very interesting was we've hit this point where our viewers are so attuned that they even knew the term peak TV. And they said, yes, not only have I heard of it, I think it's a good thing. You know, in effect, there's no such thing as too much good TV. I mean, and as I said before, it's because, I mean, we're content-craving creatures. That's the bee to honey here. So for our audiences now, instead of feeling the fatigue that our TV execs are, if they feel they're on that treadmill of trying to put out the best possible content and competing to get those creatives, for the audience, it's just an abundance of content that they're pleased with. Some of this also comes from the ability to time shift. There's no longer that pressure that I need to watch that show on Tuesday night, on Thursday night, on Sunday night. You have that freedom to stockpile, you know, like the good little squirrels that we are, and stockpile our piles of shows that we can get to and nibble on or binge on at our leisure. So, you know, it was very clear to us, you know, when we went out to the field with this survey, that the concerns that were there that perhaps the audience was going to have a surfeit or be glutted from too much TV, quite the opposite. You know, they know that they can store that TV and consume it when they want to.
Mm-hmm. Before we get to the numbers, Robert, you raised the subject of too little talent to support so many original TV programs. Isn't that a misnomer? And there are so many ways you can get the new talent. I mean, you look at Sam Esmail. We just had Byron Belasco on from Kingdom. We're seeing more people finish independent film getting into television. And when they get in, they not only create a show, they run the show. We've got these independent television festivals in New York, in Los Angeles, in Atlanta, in Vermont, in Denver, Series Fest, where we're seeing more new talent come in. There are efforts to try to get more women and women of color involved in television and people of color in writing and directing programs, some of which we covered. And now you have the equity crowd and the crowdfunding movement, which is now starting to put TV shows on the air, things like the revival of Mystery Science 50,000, which will be on Netflix next year. And we just had the folks from Seed and Spark, based here in Brooklyn, that have this New Voice crowdfunding rally, which is trying to get a bunch of new shows on the air in various ways. Do you think that this whole, we don't have the talent to support this, the level of peak TV now, not to mention where it may go, do you think that's basically a lie?
I don't think it's a lie. I think what it is that initial perception, if you're only going after the talent that you already know and that you already associate with TV. And just what you were talking about now is that widening of the aperture. You know, so if you've run out of the talent that you already know from TV, then you start to look at the other resources there. You find directors from film who want to be in TV now because of the change in story arc and character arc and the novelization of TV. You see writers and directors who want to be in TV now, you know, and are moving away from their movie contracts and moving into TV and being courted by TV, you know, and, you know, taking it all the way to as far afield, you know, as those who were originally in the YouTube realm, you know, who are looking at TV as well. So across that opening up the aperture and looking toward other talent sources, you know, and nurturing and developing those talents is part of what we're seeing there. Now, additionally, it used to be that the TV auteur, you know, that role of the showrunner was a rare thing. You know, in the previous golden era of TV, you had, you know, Studio One, you know, which had, you know, its primary showrunner, or Playhouse 90. Then you move into the 60s and in the 70s, you had, you know, the rare person who might be, you know, in that realm. So you would have a Norman Lear. And then, you know, through the 80s and 90s, you had your Aaron Sorkin. But now you have Aaron Sorkins in the multiples with all of the showrunners and creatives who have moved into TV. And I think also Byron mentioned this when he was speaking as well about these shorter call-out seasons, these 10-episode seasons, these 12-episode seasons are actually a boon to these creatives. They don't have that pressure to fill. They have the freedom to create, you know, a complete clean arc to a season, which can airs live, goes on to then most likely to one of the SVODs to Netflix or Amazon or Hulu for the in-between season, with the ideal from the network's viewpoint that they'll then watch it live when it airs on the network again, but they're able to have a cleaner container of story to execute from season to season.
And because of that, the shorter, while that may be a problem with local stations, let's say, in terms of getting reruns enough to fill the hours, One of the best things about that is you have like a Carlton Cuse, for example, who can do one time of the year he can do Bates Motel. Another time of the year he can do The Strain for FX. Another time of the year he can do Collie with Ryan Condal, who is his protege. Another one of the new auteurs for USA Network. So you have a Carlton Cuse who can do, for example, three or four series and work on others and develop them with other new talent and put them on the air. Let's get to some of the stats. And I'll ask you what you think was the most interesting stat of the bunch. Now, this is an online survey that was done between July 1st and 6th of this year. About 800 people were involved, male, female. The margin of error, about plus minus 3%. And try some of this on. PTV, according to people surveyed, they see now that quality is all over the place. It's not just in one place, but they think streaming is great. In fact, 76% believe there's more good TV shows on now than before a Netflix, a Hulu, et cetera, was streaming. Here's the interesting thing. 69% are saying that they enjoy the shows they're watching more this summer than previous summers. And they're watching more original, and about half of these people surveyed say they're watching more even original series now, at least on streaming, compared to last summer. And here's an interesting one. Two out of every three people surveyed said, get this, they plan to go to the movies less this summer because the quality of television has gotten more higher. And 67% say better writers, better directors than movies. TV has that. 73% state TV stars, whether they know them or not, are now as impactful or more impactful than movie stars. Of all the stats, which one really hit you?
Well, I'd like to take it back, actually, to last summer where we did our summer streaming list study. And that was the first summer where we had tracked, you know, and measured that, whereas the summer had always been time for the summer reading list. And families would talk about choosing the reading list for the adults and choosing the reading list for the kids. They were talking about putting together their summer streaming list, you know, and they felt that streaming was starting to fill that gap that reading had previously filled. But a lot of what they were streaming were known shows that had previously run. They were attracted. They were watching Gilmore Girls, you know, and a lot of the shows that we were seeing rebooted or seasons that they'd stored up, you know, of The Wire or Breaking Bad. This summer, what was substantially different for us to see was that whereas last summer there was lower sentiment, positive viewing of what was there from broadcasting cable, and much, much, much higher sentiment for what was available on streaming from Netflix and Amazon and Hulu, that actually, and I think that's some of my discussion around the investment that broadcast and cable has made in quality scripted fare, this summer there was parity. This summer, they felt that broadcast and cable were pretty much on par with streaming, a substantial jump, a jump of about 10 to 12 points in terms of that positive esteem. Now, granted, they still say that overall they feel that streaming is still more a more consistent and reliable provider of quality content that they want to view, but there was a substantial growth in the positive viewpoint of what broadcast and cable were providing as summer viewing fare as well. So for my purposes, looking at this with the long view, that jump from last summer to now for the positive sentiment towards broadcast and cable should be it should be good news to our broadcast and cable, you know, providers, because what we've seen over the last number of years is, you know, 20 years ago, cable was a maverick, and it's hard to believe viewing cable as a maverick. And it over a period of years, ate away a lot of that broadcast audience and disintermediated it into a lot of niche networks. Well, you know, streaming, what we call SVOD or OTT, subscription video, you know, or over the top, has done to cable what cable did to broadcast, but a far more rapid clip. So in looking at this, when we look at shoring up, you know, that never-ending tide that erodes that beachfront of audience that cable and broadcast rely on, this summer, you know, was a move towards seeing some of that audience staying back, you know, coming back to cable and broadcast. Now, that in some ways starts to, again, as I use the term, instead of media monogamy or platform polygamy, a lot of people who a year ago were saying, you know, I may just, you know, cut the cord. I can probably survive just on my subscription services. I don't need to, you know, be spending that extra $150 or $200 a month, you know, on cable for all of these networks. Well, you know, there were fewer people this season saying that they were seriously considering cutting the cord, and partly because the content was there for them on cable and broadcast as well as on streaming.
We have a call from Rick Webb again, and we're going to take that in a second. But first, I have to ask you about Apple. They announced Carpool Karaoke is going to become a series on Apple Music, probably on Apple TV. You still wonder whether Apple, which has Apple TV in terms of apps, is going to make a major play to become a Netflix-like situation with original programming. What do you think?
Well, if they're doing that, they're taking their time. I'm somebody who's looked at the promise of Apple TV, you know, like a kid waiting for a pony every Christmas, and the pony hasn't come yet. So it's good to see that incremental investment in content. You know, they certainly were that game changer in music for iTunes. But if we look, you know, at how Spotify, you know, and other music streaming services have supplanted, you know, that model, I think Apple has to get a handle on what model it wants to put out there that's going to be differentiated and impactful.
Rick Webb, you're on the line. You got about a minute or two left, so go ahead.
Hi, Robert. I just wanted to ask, like, what do you see happening with YouTube? I noticed on your report that you said that it's one of the top go-to channels for younger viewers. So do you think that the younger demographic will actually grow up with YouTube and it'll become bigger?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's always interesting. Thank you. And that's from our Streaming Has Become TV study that was they came out last February. And that's where we had noted, much to the concern of our broadcast and cable clients, that viewers were now referring to their subscription video platforms, Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime, and as channels. You know, and that's when that nomenclature changes, you know, that's a bellwether to a change that you have to pay attention to. Now, for our older viewers, when we ask them, what are your top channels, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, and HBO Go were their primary channels that they were tuning to for reliable quality content. However, for our youngers, for under 25, the same top three, Netflix, Amazon, and Hulu, were there, but YouTube was there as that most reliable go-to for content. Now, that YouTube experience is something where we're in a schizophrenic industry right now where you end up having to do things for visibility and awareness that sometimes as well may eviscerate your show and the tune-in towards your network. So in that YouTube experience, often it becomes the Cuisinart of content, where you can take, you know, a 90-minute episode of Fallon, but just put out the best little bits that are there, you know, on YouTube. You can take, you know, the best of your Amy Schumer, put it out there. So what happens for these younger viewers is they don't feel that need to tune to 90 minutes of, you know, a Fallon or a Colbert. They're not necessarily even the demographic, or, you know, or to, you know, a Carpool Karaoke, you know, on air, but on YouTube, they're able to get that in exactly the bite-sized piece of neat and sweet content that they're looking for.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, Robert, how YouTube Red does under Suzanne Farrell, the former head of MTV and other networks, Lifetime 2 and programming, and to see how they do in terms of scripted series and unscripted longer-length series. Before you go, Robert, in terms of investment, what role do you think equity crowdfunding and crowdfunding is going to have on getting, A, more TV series off the ground, more scripted series, and, B, to get more diverse series off the ground, especially involving women, people of color, women of color on both sides of the camera?
Well, I mean, I think what we're seeing is, you know, a breaking down of barriers and an opening of the playing field. You know, there's without question a lot of old, you know, old school equity and new school equity has been flying in to finance a lot of these TV projects. In the post-Brexit environment with the decline in the power of the pound and of the euro, you're going to need to backfill for some of the under investments that they're going to be seeing there. So I think we're going to be definitely seeing that opportunity. And also as we look to these younger audiences who are tuning to the web, you know, to YouTube, et cetera, in order to get their content and growing up there, there also are going to be opportunities for that greater diversity of content and to incubate that content, you know, in OTT environments and sometimes, you know, breaking up into the broadcast cable or the larger impact streaming services as well.
If you want to see the study about Peak TV that Robert's company has done and find out more about what they're doing in terms of other projects in the TV world and elsewhere, you'd way go online, minorandcompanystudio.com. It's minorandcostudio.com, and I think you'll find this Peak TV study very fascinating. Robert, thanks for bringing it to us. Pleasure to have you on. Have a wonderful weekend. Let's have you back before the end of the year and get your thoughts about where things will be at going into 2017. It's been a great, great pleasure.
Sounds great, and happy birthday again.
Thank you very, very much. Take care. Robert Meyer of Meyer Company joining us live from New York. We'd like to hear what you thought about our end of year nine on Tomorrow We Televise Today. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter. However you communicate, we appreciate it because what you say matters. And remember, Monday, year 10 begins. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associates, Jamie Domestico and Candace Williams. Andy Toews, Blog Talk Radio's general manager. The creator and chief executive is Alan Levy. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening both today and throughout the 9 years of this program. If you're new, welcome aboard. We'll be back on Monday, kick off year number 10, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. Have a wonderful weekend. Be safe and be great out there, especially in heat wave areas. And until then,